Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Ted, one of the things that's been great about City Hall is the access so that you guys can hear what your city is doing for you. Superintendent Eddie Johnson's been in a ton. The mayor has been in. Mayor Emanuel, a bunch. When's Lori Lightfoot on? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 7:10.
Okay. And joining us now, First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. Big meeting yesterday because we're trying to figure out a way to stem the tide of violence on the left side. I assume it was led by the incoming mayor?
It was. So the mayor-elect called all the city heads together for a big meeting to kind of brainstorm about what we want to do this summer. And, you know, we've had a good year. We continue to move in the right direction. And we want to build on that. We want to keep that going through the summer.
One of the things, and I'll be honest with you, I was wrong. I never used to put faith in this, was that good weather meant more crime in crime-ridden areas. Of course, logically, it makes sense because creeps go outside and they've got more time to be outside and do their thing. So there is a seasonal aspect to this, isn't there?
Oh, there absolutely is. What we see with the warmer weather is obviously there's more people out. There's more opportunities for things like, you know, drive-bys and robberies and things of that nature. So we adjust accordingly. We have more officers on the street. We also push our starting times back a little bit for some of our specialized units, our tactical officers.
Sure.
Because we find that, you know, the crime will go till 3 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before it finally settles down. So we adjust as they adjust.
I've said this a million times, and you know this, 99% of the people in the worst neighborhoods in the city just want what everybody wants in their own neighborhoods, and that's send my kids to school, get to work, come home, have a family, have a life, get to church, whatever.
Absolutely.
And the 1% are the ones that are causing all of the problems. The 1% are the ones who are going to be stopped. If you have the complete cure, please raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Riccio, I'd love to hear your solution. In the meantime, you have to do what you can do. And one of the things that came out of the meeting yesterday was a bit of a leadership rebalancing, I guess is the way I'd put it. What does it mean to us?
Well, what it means is we're going to see a collaborative effort. That's something that's not new to us, quite frankly. That's been the case under the current mayor as well. And we just want to kind of retool and be on one page, one sheet of music going forward for the summer. Build on those gains. Like I said, you know, we released our crime stats, our robberies, our burglaries, our vehicle thefts, 20-year lows. And that's not an accident. That's some good planning. That's some good strategies. That's some good police work. Vehicular hijackings, carjackings, 36% reduction this year versus last year.
And had to stem the tide of it starting here in the Loop. It was here, and now it's virtually gone again.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So we want to continue to build on those. I mean, we're never going to be satisfied, right? So we're happy with reductions, of course, but we're never going to be satisfied. We want to keep pushing those things down, build on our successes. We've got a great team in place. You know, we made some changes yesterday within the command structure of the department. We wanted to make sure that we have the right people in the right places going into the summer. And I think some of the changes we made yesterday are going to accomplish that. So we're moving forward in a good direction.
One of the things that happens when the weather is warmer, I know it happened a couple weekends ago when it actually was nice out, are those waves of kids that come downtown and just,
right,
you know, are in masses. And I know in the paper they said that you guys were working on strategies to stop that. And occasionally some of them are arrested if they cause violence, but some aren't. What is a strategy to stop them from mobilizing to come down here?
So, and that's going to take more than just the police. So we're looking to clergy. We're looking to businesses. We're looking to community groups. We want to give them an alternative to going down. They're kids. Kids are kids. They want to hang out. They want to be with their friends. If they have something to do or someplace to go other than downtown, they're going to take it. They're just looking for something to do like everybody else. Now, having said that, when they come down and they create havoc or commit criminal acts, we're going to lock them up, and we're going to, you know, have their parents come down. We want to have, for example, we want to have Chicago Public School principals come down or some representative of the schools when we know kids from a certain school are down there. And then
what sort of latitude do you have when you get a little, you know, we used to call it wilding, when you get a bunch of kids who go into a store at one time,
mm-hmm,
and maybe they're not shoplifting. Maybe they're just being jerks.
Right.
But the store has a right to conduct business and not frighten their other customers and all that. Is there any, what's the latitude that police have?
Well, if they're interfering with the operation of the store, then they are committing a crime. They don't have to necessarily shoplift to commit a crime. The store asks them to leave, and they refuse to leave, they can certainly sign complaints, and we'll lock them up. And,
is that criminal trespass? What is that?
It is. It's criminal trespass.
Okay.
If a business tells you to leave, if you're not patronizing that business, if you are in there, like you said, I don't know, being jerks, is that what you call it?
Yeah, I think that sums it up, right? Just a bunch of kids being jerks. That kind of cuts to the chase.
Yeah, but again, I, you know, these are kids that want to have fun and want to do things that you did as a kid, that I did as a kid. When it crosses that line and becomes criminal, then we have to deal with it. But I think we want to focus on trying to give them something else to do, whether it's in the parks or jobs. You know, there's so many businesses. This is a very wealthy city, and we're just flush with successful businesses. We'd like to see them give some of these kids an opportunity as well.
Well, summer jobs is a huge deal.
It is.
But as you know, that with any big problem, there's an immediate, a midterm, and a long-term solution.
Right.
Changing society is the long-term part of this.
It is.
And finding jobs for these kids maybe is a midterm. What about no snitch? The no snitch policy, aldermanic no snitch policy aside, the no snitch policy in the neighborhoods, is that getting better?
So I will say this about the no snitch policy: the no snitch policy does not apply to the first person that we take in custody, because when we get people in custody, they start talking. So you got to be careful who your friends are and who you're hanging out with. But you know, to address the, and it's not, I won't even call it no snitch. It's cooperating with the police. So if you're a neighbor and you're one of the 99%, as you were saying, who are good people in those neighborhoods, and you see something going on, you have to let us know about it. Everybody has a stake in making their neighborhoods safer, and you can't just see something and not say something and not cooperate, because that allows these criminals to flourish, really, and run the streets. And we don't want that. We want the good people to run. We want the 99% to run the streets, not the 1%.
I know I've already kept you overtime, but let me get you one more.
Sure.
Trust between the CPD and communities. A lot of this stuff becomes generational, because if grandpa and grandma and tell mom and dad, who tell the kids, don't trust the cops,
right?
It funnels down. But I'm hearing from guys on the beat, women who are, you know, are on the street as cops, that younger folks, there's a better trust relationship there than they've seen in a long time. Is that true?
It absolutely is true, and that's something that we've worked really hard on. You know, it used to be that we would show up to places and we would get no cooperation from anybody. Now we are getting people coming forward. You know, we're reaching out to the communities again. Community policing is no longer an office in a police station. It's our department's philosophy. Everybody is vested in that, and we realize that that's a huge component of moving forward and having a better relationship with the community. We have meetings going throughout the city right now with between officers and members of the community, stakeholders, whether it's businesses, residents, clergy.
Sure.
To try to find out, you know, what their issues are, what their concerns are, and then jointly come up with solutions. When people are part of the solution, they feel more vested, and it's a good relationship between the police and the community then. And I think we're making great strides.
Did I call you Riccio?
I think you did.
It's Riccio.
It is.
Why would you let me do that? You should have arrested me on the spot.
I've been called worse, so I'm good with Riccio. You can do that.
I guess I'm not the first.
No, you're not.
Having said that, First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio, very much appreciate your time.
Thank
you're
you.
Always welcome here.
I appreciate it.
You know, you have no bigger fan than me, and I know your goal is to make sure there's no bad cops out there that create trust issues.
Absolutely.
But we want the community to get along so we can benefit.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being here.